Welcome back to the John Williams Show. Filling in is me, Frank Fontana, Kathy Hart sitting across me.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, so you mentioned something before we got on the air which cracked me up.
Oh, I was talking about, I found a new acupuncturist, and she's Chinese and believes in Chinese medicine, and so she's just a plethora of information. And she was telling me yesterday how I'm concerned about losing my hair. I think with half of women, as soon as you have kids, for some reason, it just starts to fall out. And I mentioned how I heard that it's seasonal, that women shed and start to lose a lot of hair.
At a certain age?
Certain seasons, ages, dietary, stress. There's all these different reasons. And she's like, no. It's all your liver. Your liver stagnation, your qi stagnation, it's stagnated. And she said there are several different things, but women who, and I won't do her accent because I don't do accents and it won't be pretty anyway.
Please, just one time.
No. And so she goes, she's explaining about liver stagnation. And then she said women who are not in relationships tend to lose their hair more. I said, what do you mean not in relationships? She goes, sex. Women need to have sex. I said, so I'm losing my hair because I'm not having sex? What?
Okay, wait. So you need to have more sex, basically.
Apparently. So guys, don't use it. Well, yeah, use it for an
excuse. That's a good pickup line, though. I mean, seriously. I noticed you're losing your hair, lady. You want to go have sex?
I know. I heard that in Chinese medicine, right. You need to be... Well, then, of course, my next question was, so when you're talking about women have to have relations and sex, and it will help keep their hair from falling out, it'll help your liver qi stagnation.
Yeah.
Does that mean it has to be sex with someone? Or can I be doing
good
things?
Good question, though. That's a really good question. What was the answer to that question?
She said she thinks it has to be with someone because it's the emotions of love that go into helping your liver qi. Yeah. And I said, well, sometimes it's better without, but...
Hey, listen, Marvin Gaye, right? Sexual healing. There's some truth to that.
Yeah,
I really believe that.
But that will be an interesting pickup line, I guess, if people want to use that. I'm sure you had some pickup lines in your day. I mean, just look at you.
Stop it.
Come on.
I didn't need pickup lines,
Oh,
Kathy.
listen to you.
This is my tech. I would, like, if I'm at a bar, you know, club, I'd play a little cool. I'd smile. It was a smile. I smiled at a girl, and, like, I lured him in with
Okay, you do have a nice smile, so
Thank
I could
you.
See that.
Thank you. But then, you know, like, but that, to me, is a new age pickup line right there.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I think, you know, I wonder as you get, you know, how old are you now? Do you mind saying? I know it's terrible to ask a woman.
No, I don't care. Whatever. I'm proud of it, and I can finally be proud of it. How old am I? 54?
I'll Google it for you.
I'm 54. Yeah.
Please Google Kathy's age for her.
I was born in 1964. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were dating now or out in the scene, is there, because it raises the question, you know, is there an etiquette for adult dating sexual timing? You know what I mean? Like,
well, look at Tinder.
Yeah, I guess.
So I guess whatever age you are, I think there's people that are any age that still want to just maybe have some fun and not get into a relationship. That's cool.
So at 50 something, because we don't know your exact age.
I know some people that are doing it. And...
Just casually, though. Like, hey, I've been married. I've been there before. Not interested in all the drama and relationship.
No, they
just want to have a good time.
Mostly they want to go out and get a free meal. Is that bad?
A twofer, right?
They want companionship. They want to go out. And I'm sure if the guy's not creepy, then maybe the other stuff will come along. Who knows? And she can work on her liver qi stagnation.
Yeah, and her hair will grow back after that.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'd love to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Is there a right or wrong time period when you're dating as an adult or in your later life? Is it okay to just throw away the rule book?
And do it on the first date?
Whatever feels good. Did you earn that right at a certain age to say, yeah, you know what? I don't need to follow politically correct.
Answer to anybody. Do what I want.
I'm attracted to you. I just want to go for it.
If you're feeling it.
I'm feeling it.
Maybe if they use a cheesy pickup line, it's not going to happen.
Like your hair is falling out. I swear my acupuncturist told me this.
Somebody's going to use that.
I'm sure.
I hope.
As you get clobbered. 312-981-7200 is the phone line. You can also text us in. We do have one text question. My daughter lost her hair. This is from the 630. Can I have the name of the Chinese acupuncturist, please?
Oh, her name is Fen. I honestly don't know her last name. She's at a...
How did you find her?
salon in Fox River Grove. A friend of mine, and I hesitate to even like give her up because she's so good.
You're
I don't want to not get an appointment to see her. But there are so many different reasons women lose their hair. It was interesting to hear her concept and philosophy. Chinese medicine is a whole nother nugget.
I'm a believer.
Yeah.
For sure.
I am as well. It's lasted for a few years for them.
Yeah.
So they tend to know what they're talking about. And I'm always game for anything. I mean, I used to drink, what was it? Like canary spit or
something.
Did you
ever have bird's nest?
That's what it is.
Bird's nest.
Yes.
Canary spit.
Bird's
nest. Same thing.
Somehow that turned into canary spit.
Hey, let's take a quick call. Tom is going to talk to us about connecting with the right person. Hey, Tom. Thanks for calling the show.
How are you?
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Great.
Doing well, bud. So what's your thoughts on the topic?
Well, I'm 49 and I'm in the dating world.
Okay.
So it's been my experience that it's really just kind of a connection between the two people. If it's going to happen like on the first time, the second time or whatever. I'm not one of those quote unquote pick guys. You're going to go out there and just look for it all the time. I look for a meaningful relationship. So I'm not going to give it up per se on the first time myself.
Okay. Oh. So I wonder, back in your 20s, you tend to do that a little bit more often. It's not even about the emotion or connection, but when you get older, it's more about the connection. So if you do feel it,
the
so
spark,
to speak.
Right, the spark.
Then you're okay doing it on the first date, if it feels right.
If it feels right. Both parties obviously have to be in tune with it, but there's been times that I've had great first dates and nothing happened, but second or third, sure, but... been times I've been on a first date and it wouldn't even kiss for goodnight.
And Tom, we have to break here, but I just want to end on this note. Do you still feel like the politically correct thing, like I have to take two or three dates to get there? Or is it you kind of just going by your own rules at this stage in life?
I think at this stage it's kind of like you're going by your own rules.
I think women are
really
the same
do.
Too, right?
I for the most part. I mean, here, what is different, though, and I know you got to go to break here, but... Is the sex drives right now for men are lower, for women they're higher.
At yeah,
the
woohoo!
That's the other thing too. So
good,
you know, good stuff, Tom.
Mother Nature is very cruel at that point. Just so you know.
Hey, Tom, there's something called hormone replacement therapy, and we'll talk more about that in another show. But we don't have to give in to Mother Nature.
Oh,
Tom,
good.
Thanks for calling the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. Good luck.
Welcome back to the John Williams Show. I'm Frank Fontana. Sitting in for John Williams is myself and Kathy Hart.
Hi, I'm Kathy Hart.
That's so well, sexy sounding. Say that again.
Oh, thanks. Hi, I'm Kathy Hart. Okay, that's weird. Wait, let's have Phil do it.
Yeah. I'm Kathy Hart.
That's
See,
hot,
you're
Phil.
Sexier.
That's hot, Phil. Phil Patel is joining us. You hear him weekly here on the John Williams mm-hmm. Show, right? Regular food critic. We're talking about a restaurant you recently reviewed, Free Reign.
Yeah. There was a restaurant a couple of years ago, just a little bit north of here, called Green River. And it was a joint venture with some New York people and some people here. And it is very small, and it was part of the Northwestern University Medical Complex, so it was hard to find. But they had great cocktails, and they actually got a Michelin star for their work.
Oh.
Still wasn't good enough to keep them in business, but now Free Reign is basically the entire culinary team moving over to this little restaurant in the St. Jane Hotel, which used to be the Hard Rock Hotel.
Oh,
on Michigan
okay.
Avenue.
Okay. And when did it go to the St. Jane?
About earlier this year.
Okay.
They remodeled it. They did not change owners. They just changed, you know,
reinventing themselves.
Right, right.
Which is smart. That's mm-hmm. always smart. Which so many restaurants seem to do, just reinvent themselves.
Right.
Or completely start over when they screw up.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know,
if you've
got the 10-year
right.
lease and you got to do something.
Yeah, yeah. So what is Free Reign? What was your favorite thing about going to Free Reign?
Well, I was happy. The chef is Aaron Lorette, and I've liked his food, so it was very nice to get back to seeing him do his thing. And he's making the name suggests that he can do anything he wants to do, Free Reign, and so he does that. He just makes food that he finds really interesting, and it doesn't pigeonhole into any one definition. But
so you
good,
can theme it out
American
as
food.
As an American fare or
exactly just yeah. good creative. You know, chef-driven what he finds good, just great product, and he doesn't mess with it too much.
What did you get?
Oh, they do a nice Dover sole. It's kind of expensive, but it's sort of sized for two.
Mm.
They had a pork collar that's sort
collar?
Of a, collar, yeah, the area neck
okay.
area. And it's a nice piece of meat, and they kind of do it as a roulade. That is, it's kind of flattened and then rolled up,
Love roulade.
Then it comes with this really nice glaze on top of that, and a sweet potato puree that I wrote was so good. I got to figure out how to make this in time for Thanksgiving.
Do you cook?
I do.
What's your favorite? What do you like to cook best, most?
Well, I always have fun cooking duck, doing duck breast.
Mm.
And a year ago, 2 years ago, my sons gave me a sous vide machine for my birthday.
So what's a sous vide machine?
Sous vide is, you know, literally in French means under vacuum. And what it is a form of cooking in which you have an immersion circulator that keeps water moving at a certain temperature. And then you seal the meat or whatever it is you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You can cook anything.
Eggs,
in there.
Right?
Right, eggs. But the idea is to cook things for a very long time at a very low temperature.
Oh, okay.
Low and slow, Kathleen.
And the circulation part is essential so that there are no hot or cold parts of the water. It's all the same.
You know what, Starbucks, when you go to like to get the egg sandwich?
I was just going to say that.
That is my experience
with
the sous vide. Egg sous vide.
Because I tried making bacon bites on my own at home, and they suggested that machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it. Well, I don't have the machine, but can I come to your house and make bacon bites?
Sure.
Awesome.
Hey, you can also, I think you can get a sous vide machine now for about $125 at Target.
Oh, nice.
They are everywhere. And
you're more popular.
I have a big tub I bought so that I can do a lot of cooking at the same time if I wanted. I did a New Year's Eve dinner party where I did duck breast for 20 people, and I did it all sous vide.
I'm
so you need a pretty big
duck.
Vessel for that, but you can just put that thing, hook it onto a stock pot, and if you're cooking for one or two, that's...
Yeah. Well, your wife must appreciate you cooking.
She does.
Does she do any cooking?
Sure.
Oh, who's better?
Depends on what you're doing. If it's...
And if she's listening.
Yeah. Well, no, she's not. But if we're talking goulash and risotto, I bend the knee. And if we're talking about roasted meats, I might have the edge.
Risotto's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's
long
a really
process.
Yeah, that's challenging.
The key is you never leave the stove.
No.
When you're the risotto, you're saying, I'm doing risotto. Everybody else set the table, cut the bread, do whatever else has to be done, but I'm here.
Can't walk away.
For the next 20 minutes.
You know, I've always wanted to, when I talk to food critics, I can't help but ask some of the experiences that you've had. Have you literally been to a restaurant? And I mean, people overuse the word literally and they don't use it correctly, but I'm asking, have you ever literally gagged on something that you've eaten at a restaurant?
Not at the restaurant. I've gagged at a few memories.
Okay.
Years ago, there was a restaurant called Michael Jordan's Restaurant.
That's not around anymore?
No, thank goodness. And the Michael Jordan's Steakhouse is here on Michigan Avenue. Yeah.
So it's not that one. You're talking about the one.
And another Michael Jordan Steakhouse out
of Oak Brook. It was like 12 stories.
This was the very first one at the corner of LaSalle in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually operated by the brothers who started Bigsby and Carruthers. Menswear. Now,
yeah.
We're showing our age. We don't remember Bigsby and Carruthers.
Totally.
And remember
that.
Michael Jordan as a player. And this was the restaurant. And there wasn't good. It was one of those, we've got 200 more tourists coming in every hour. We don't need you. And that was sort of the end. And I had ordered with a friend some scallops. And I saw a waiter walking toward me. And 8 to 10 feet away, I went, oh, please don't let these be my scallops. No.
Oh, no, no.
They were that
really?
Bad. I could smell them bad, and they put them down in front of me. I said, you have got to be kidding.
Whoa.
Really?
I mean, somebody had to reach into the walk-in cooler and not notice that those things were rancid. They had to put it on a hot plate and stand over it and cook it and not notice that they were bad.
Whoa.
Plate it, and the person who's delivering it had to notice that. I mean, it.
Scallops is not it's an easy thing to cook for the most part. I mean, you can't really screw it up.
Right. And if you look for scallops on ammonia in a cookbook, you'll never find it because it's a really, really bad idea.
Speaking
of
ammonia.
And these things smelled like ammonia.
One of the bad experiences I had recently, I was at a restaurant and the food was fantastic. It just came. I was already smelling it. And as you know, smell is such an important part of the dining experience. Uh-huh. And just about to take the bite, the server started cleaning the table next to me with bleach. So all of a sudden, I inhaled right before I was about to take, and it just so ruined that experience. Yeah. And the bleach is obviously a strong smell.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so we actually said something because
I
loved
go away
the place.
How did they handle it, Kath? How did the restaurant handle it?
Well, I didn't say it to the server because I was gagging at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the managers came over and he was doing something else. I said, by the way, you know, maybe a little tip that could come in handy for you guys. Yeah. Stay away from the bleach while people are dining.
Yep.
Because I'm not afraid to tell people that because I think it's in their best interest, right?
Absolutely. If he did it then, he'll do it again.
And I have to believe when you give a review that might not be so nice, for lack of a better term, I would imagine they might appreciate it as a constructive criticism.
I'd like to think so.
Okay.
I would like to think
Phil,
so.
Phil, question. Do you get to pick what you're going to eat that day? Or do they just tell you, we're going to bring out our best dish?
Oh, no. No, I don't. I mean, I've... some months ago, as we talked about off the air, I
came out,
took my metaphorical mask off, and people know what I look like. But I still don't roll in there like the King of France and say, you know, entertain me.
I'm Phil Vitale.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if I have to say that, it's already a failure, right?
I've seen your, was it the Ratatouille critic that you used as
yes, Anton Ego. Yeah. He's my Facebook avatar.
Yeah.
And I will never get rid of him until I get that inevitable letter from Disney's legal department.
Well, we're talking to Phil Vitale. We're going to take a quick break. Kathy and I will be returning after this, and we're going to get into some restaurant etiquette. Maybe you want to hang out, Phil. You want to hang for this conversation?
Sure. This is fun.
Great, and I'm sure a lot of people have thoughts that they can share on restaurant don'ts.
Sure. 312-981-7200. Call in with your, I don't want to say worst restaurant experience and share with
us. Restaurant don'ts, like tips to give restaurants, restaurateurs, owners, servers.
Here's a good idea. Don't do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We left off talking to Phil Vitale, who's still in studio. Kathy Hart's with me here, filling in for John Williams. John will be back next week, Alef.
King John.
King John, baby.
Yep, he's back.
I'm a huge fan of King John.
Yep.
I love him. We were talking about restaurant etiquette and like what's really one thing that's grossed you out in a recent restaurant experience. We got people calling in. We got people texting in. Let's read one here from the 815. My wife and I were at the sushi restaurant, and she noticed this guy kept putting a pen behind his ear, messing with his cell phone, touching other things around the place, and then touching people's food without washing his hands. My wife politely mentioned, you may not want to be doing that when you're handling people's food. Turns out he's the owner and said, oh, well.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm guessing they did not go back to that restaurant.
Especially not in a sushi restaurant.
No.
No. Why is he handling the food anyway?
As the owner. Yeah, who knows?
You've got a sushi chef.
Yeah.
And then you've got the people getting the sushi, and unless they're far away and someone has to walk it over, there shouldn't be any need to touch.
I once saw a guy, he was one of the servers, and he had one of the towels hanging out of his back pocket, and he was wiping off glasses. We saw him over at the server station doing this. He was taking glasses and drying them off with the towel that was in his back pocket and wiping the rim of the wine glasses with that towel. And it just made me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, another text coming in here at the 847, which is one of my big pet peeves, is when you see a waiter or a busboy taking a dirty rag, cleaning a table with a dirty rag.
Right.
And this goes in line with the 847 here. Big pet peeve. Restaurants that use sour-smelling mops for their floors.
Oh.
If restaurants have a sour smell, it doesn't matter how great their food is. It's a dining killer.
Right.
You have to notice that, Phil, in a lot of the places that you go to.
A lot of
the,
I've been lucky. I tend to hang out at some of the higher-end places.
And oh, wait, that did come out wrong, didn't it?
Phil's not slumming it. He's not slumming it.
And, usually at my places, the mops don't show up until I am long gone. Yeah.
I meant you've been to so many places that you have to experience. Isn't it, though, because typically I find this smell in bars where I like to hang out. Doesn't it typically happen with that rubber mat that they have on the floor? And it seems like that smell just kind of stagnates in that rubber mat.
Because it'll trap the moisture underneath. And unless they clean it with a lot of regularity, it just becomes basically stagnant water.
Yeah.
Gross and whatever stuff. Else was in the water before it became stagnant.
Let's talk to Kate, who's calling in with her restaurant pet peeve. Hey, Kate, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, love you guys.
Thanks.
Hi, thanks, Kate.
And welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. I'm having fun.
Hey, I got to tell you about customers when you're sitting at a table, like, you know, a patron sitting there, and they decide to blow their nose
at the
table.
Not cool.
And the worst part is when you have somebody that is like, it's coming from their feet, that they are trying to get this big loogie out of their throat.
I know, this is so gross. You know, if you have just a little sniffle, whatever, I'll turn my cheek on that. But the one you're talking about that come from their toes, no.
And what about the one, is it okay to wipe with a towel or napkin that's on the table, like the formal napkins? Is it okay to use that if you got to blow your nose
for
and
a
wipe
hygiene
it?
Issue? No, not okay.
Excuse yourself. If it's an emergency and it's running down your face, then maybe use the napkin to wipe it. But
I mean, that's different. But just to sit there and then, and then you're like, really? I was just taking a bite of my shrimp right there.
That's good stuff, Kate. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
I'm never eating again, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Let's hear from...
destroyed Phil Vitale.
Let's hear from Tony, who's got an interesting story about HVAC blowing stuff on his food. Ew. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good. We were having dinner in a restaurant. I won't mention the name. They had no air conditioning. They had the HVAC guys, and they're working on their HVAC system. They put some air pressure into the system. Well, the system was clogged by tens of thousands of dead flies, which were then pushed... blown all over the restaurant while people were eating.
No!
So gross. Mm.
I have not gone back, nor will I ever go back to this
Did they
place.
Offer everyone a free meal?
They didn't charge anybody anything, but I couldn't wait to go
back. No, you can't go back there. No. That's
a delicacy possibly in another country,
right?
But not here in Chicago.
Taking the waiter, there's a fly in my soup thing to some absurd extreme.
10,000 flies in my soup.
Wait, there's a fly in everything.
let's get our last call before we take a news break here. Dave is joining us. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hello. I had just a comment about what a restaurant owner should not do when they're dealing with a party of 10. We came in, we all ate our meals, and we were just planning to have an after-dinner drink at the table, and then we were planning on leaving. The owner quickly came up and saw that we were all done eating and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have to leave now. I need this table."
What? Whoa, that's rude.
But kind of a Chicago thing, I would think. You know,
who cares? It's still rude.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
This was way out towards Rockford.
Whoa.
Makes it less appropriate, maybe?
I don't know. It makes it more concerning than needed the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And there goes your tip.
When you sit there and say, okay, well, it's going to be an hour wait, so you wait for those people. But this man could not use common patience, and we weren't going to sit there all night. No.
Yeah, there's an interesting extreme. You have the managers
Thanks, Dave,
that
appreciate
are working a dining room as though they're these tables are parking meters, and it's kind of tick 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 tick. You go now, and then you have the customer who thinks that his two entrees and a drink as a down payment on the table,
right?
And he's in there like an outman platoon. He's not going anywhere.
There's got to be a good balance.
You got to find a balance, and you've got to be able to approach it correctly. One of the ways it often works when you legitimately leave a table, I'm saying he has a table of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably this restaurant has a very limited supply of tables that can accommodate a large party waiting to sit. So the gentle way is to sit there and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would love to buy you a drink at the bar."
Ah, yep.
Wouldn't that be lovely? I'll throw in a dessert. I've got these people. They showed up early. My deepest apologies, but I would be happy to compliment you all around your drinks over there in the bar and set them up, and then everybody's happy.
Pay attention, restaurateurs.
Good That's advice right. from Phil Vitale. Thank you so much for coming in, Phil. We
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It. And
Thank
and
you.
Unveiling yourself and coming out to us. It's very, very nice. Thank you.